Good morning, North River family and friends. What an honor to sing songs like that. Don't know what it was like in your home or your living room as you sang those songs, but thank you, worship team, the way you help us every Sunday focus on Jesus and God's faithfulness. I'm going to need that little remote, to advance things. Looks like it disappeared from the table here, so I think I'll get that in just a minute. But God, it's going to be great when we can all be back together, hundreds of us singing La Montaña. That was a great song this morning, but, basically, it's a lot more energetic and fun and, encouraging to do it when we've got so many of our brothers and sisters here. So, let's continue to learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth in smaller groups until we all can be back, together again. We're continuing on our series that we've begun for this year, Faithful Together. That's our theme. Then also, today, I'm going to go on with our third installment on this, Faithful Together, the faithfulness of God's Spirit. I am with you, God has said throughout the Scriptures, and That's a truth and a reality we want to lean into every day of our lives. God's answering a lot of prayers, among our church family. They're many and they're varied. I got one that really encouraged me today because I've got this prayer list, as so many of you do. I'm praying for people that are sick, that are having challenges, and we've got COVID situations within our extended family, and we get particularly worried about it when it is involved one of our parents. And Pierre Toussaint sent me a text this week because we've been praying for his dad to recover. And here's what he said. He said, "Hi, guys. Just wanted to update you that my dad has been COVID-free without experiencing any symptoms. Now for the virus of sin." Well, thank you, Pierre. And I texted back, "That's great to know, Pierre. Yeah, let's get on to masking and controlling the virus of sin. Would be good for all of us to stay at least 6 feet away from sin. Wouldn't you agree? And so, although we need to continue our physical distancing and wearing our mask until this, time has passed, Kingdom Relationships 101 tell us that in our relationships with each other and in the church, don't forget to take off the mask. Romans 12:9 says, love each other without hypocrisy, and taking off, those, masks we put on to try to kind of hide what we're going through. That really isn't what we're all about here as a church. And hopefully as we study the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of God's Spirit this morning, it would just help us all to drop our guard and to open up our hearts and be open to God's Word, God's Spirit, and to each other as we help each other in this journey. Well, today we've got our first New to North River session of the year, and you'll notice probably on the screen you're seeing our North River vision statement. And this is so important to kind of go back to this again and again, what we're all about as a church. So one of the very first things we say, and you notice when we're all together again, is we are a very diverse family of believers who have answered the call to be disciples of Jesus Christ, not just believers, but to be disciples, people who truly follow him with all our heart and soul. We're being transformed, and this is so important, by God's grace, by his word, and by the Holy Spirit, where we'll be focusing on this morning. And through small groups and deep relationships with one another, we do join in Jesus' ministry and mission to make and mature disciples while we care for the needs of people. And we do this to help as many as people, to save many people as possible, all to the glory of God. Meeting the needs of people, it's a very important tenet of what we believe and what we embrace here as a church family. And I'm very happy to bring up Kevin and Noel Broyles, who are going to give us an update on just how we've been trying to meet some of those needs.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share with you some great news about the Martin Luther King Day of Day of Service Donation Drive. During these challenging times, it's inspiring and refreshing to see normal. And you know, what is normal at North River? Normal at North River is an overwhelming generosity. I think through this pandemic, we have shown ourselves to be resilient, sacrificial, giving, serving, and generous. And we are truly have had the opportunity to show ourselves being faithful together, serving together. I'm going to let Noelle share some of the great things that happened last weekend.
Oh my goodness, church. The community is talking about you and how grateful they are for you. Within just a week plus of time, you guys gathered together essential food items, school snacks, supplies, socks, undies, encouragement cards, toiletries. Within a two-hour period last Sunday, over 75 cars came passing through the lighthouse, well, on the side of it, passing through with donations that were just flowing out of the cars. We filled up over 350 boxes and bags of all of these essential donations. Our kids in the church wrote over 180 encouragement cards to the kids in the different children's programs throughout our surrounding community. Kids encouraging kids. I mean, how cool is that? And for the 20 volunteers, because we had to keep it limited in the lighthouse because we're honoring all the COVID safety rules, we had volunteers of all ages from all communities smiling together. Their smiles were bursting out from their masks, elbow high fives everywhere as they worked tirelessly for those hours. We donated to two local food banks, five children education and support programs for vulnerable children here. You can see the program descriptions on the previous newsletter. But I just want to tell you a couple of things that the community and the community leaders are saying about you. Noelle, we're blown away. I've never seen such generous donations. One coordinator of the children's, of a home, for a refuge home for abused children, she said, wow, to collect that much in such little time speaks volumes about how dedicated you are to serve the community. Many people offer help, but you all follow through with your word. Church family, I just want to say your reputation, you're shining like a light because of how you give and love and serve like Jesus.
Amen. It was just incredible, and it was so amazing to hear the people that received those donations just in awe. And so, church, you're to be congratulated. What a great work. You know, in 2021, we're kind of concentrating on the one. You know, being like Jesus, being the one that serves, remembering each one. I want to encourage everyone to begin to sign up for the Volunteer Hub. There's the URL there. We'll put it in the newsletter. But this will give you the opportunity to see the different opportunities that you have to volunteer. And we, our goal is that everyone in the church will have the opportunity to volunteer. But thank you so much for an incredible Martin Luther King Day.
And thank you, Kevin and Noelle. You continue to inspire us, to so many in our church family. Okay, it's time to get our Bibles out, open up. We're going to start digging into the scripture in just a moment. We're continuing along with that theme, faithful together, the faithfulness of God, and today focusing on the faithfulness of God's Holy Spirit. Last week, Jordan reminded us as he went through the Old Testament, and we'll do some of that again, you know, today. From Joshua 23:14, this is a verse that really stuck out to me, and I hope to you as well. As Joshua told God's people who'd been through so much, you know with all of your heart and soul that not one of the good promises of God that he gave you has failed. He has been faithful, you know, from first to last. God is faithful. I remember a couple of weeks ago when I was sharing some thoughts with you. I talked about this sunrise that I see in the morning over at our place, and it reminds me about the faithfulness of God. And I mentioned that I wonder about a lot of things. Seriously, I did wonder, you know, this week, I wondered, you know, what was exactly going to happen surrounding Inauguration Day. I wondered, as I do pretty much every week, when is this pandemic going to be over? I actually even wondered, hey, how are some of you? How are some of my spiritual family? How are you doing through all of this as the months continue to go on? But one thing that I did not wonder about was if the sun was coming up this morning, because God is always faithful. It's written in creation. Let's say a prayer now as we open up the scriptures. Our faithful Father in heaven, we ask your blessing and we pray for our country, our new administration, our healthcare officials, caregivers, and those who serve on the front lines on a daily basis. Father, we pray for our families. We pray for our church. We pray for our fellowship. We pray that you will move as only you can to bring us tight together, solve whatever issues and problems we have through your faithfulness, the faithfulness of your grace, your word, and your Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God continues to be faithful in so many ways. It actually, as you go through the scriptures and you think about the Holy Spirit, it begins actually in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about God's creative power and his breath. This Hebrew word for breath is it talks about him breathing life into everything, breathing life into man. The breath of God, his power, God's spirit is breathing into us new life. The Old Testament biblical view of God's faithfulness was expressed in a quote that Chase sent me earlier this week by an author named Tim Mackey. It says, God's personal presence is what animates and energizes all of creation, including me and you. It's what can energize us, not just our own strength, our own power, our own resolve, even our own convictions, but God's gift of his spirit inside of us and all around us. God is faithful, his promises are faithful, and his spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a guarantee. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 28. It's a familiar passage to all of us. It's the very last thing that he said, you know, on this earth before he ascended into heaven. And so we think about it a lot. I'd like to focus in on the second part of the verse. So wherever you go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything that I've commanded you. But don't miss this part, and we move past it too quickly. He says, and remember, I am always with you till the end of time. We affirm that this morning, that God is always with us. Every day and throughout all of history, he's with us. This is not a new thought in the scriptures. It's throughout Old and New Testaments. God breathed life into mankind, and he made a promise. I'll be with you always. In the book of Exodus, Moses was commissioned by God to lead his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And Moses responded, who am I? How can I do that? But the response that God gave him was, I will be with you. And throughout all of their experience in Exodus 33, verse 14, again, God's faithfulness is proclaimed. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, or I will give you peace. At the end of this journey, before they head into the promised land, Moses again addresses all of the people and encourages them, be strong and courageous. Don't be in fear. The Lord your God will go with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Peter picked up on this in 1 Peter in chapter 5, and also in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, where the New Testament affirms the promise of God, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. and then Joshua in this amazing transition and taking on this Herculean task of leading God's people after the death of Moses. What was the message to him? But be strong and courageous, God says. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. When Gideon faced with just 300 men, tens and thousands of, you know, of invaders, and he felt so insecure, and what can I do? How can I accomplish this? Once again, the message comes through, oh mighty man of valor, I will be with you. And David, as he walked with God from being a very young boy, he learned to not fear because God was always with him. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. In 1 Chronicles 28, as David is sharing with his son Solomon, he says the same message, be strong and courageous. Do not fear because I will be with you. In 2 Chronicles 32, when Hezekiah was facing the armies of Sennacherib and these fierce Assyrians, Hezekiah says to the people, be strong and be courageous. Don't be dismayed, for there is a greater power with us than with them. What was that power? The presence of God, the Spirit of God. Jeremiah, when he was commissioned to be a prophet, and he said, oh, I'm just a youth, I'm so young, what can I do? The same message came through, but I will be with you. Go speak to this people. All throughout the prophets, you know, encapsulated in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, it's this encouragement. When you pass through the waters and difficulties, I will be with you. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, as we look toward the coming of the Messiah, you know, there the message is the Lord himself will give you a sign, and a virgin will conceive, and a son shall be born, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. It was the message of Jesus to the apostles on his last day on this earth as he commissioned them. And then as Paul was going through a really rough time in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, the message came, you know, from God. Do not be afraid. Do not be silent. Keep on speaking, for I am with you. And then who can forget at the end of the book of Luke, as Jesus says to the penitent thief on the cross, truly, truly, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, we are not alone. You are not alone. It's the message throughout the Bible. How important is it for each of us to embrace it? And what is it that gives that assurance or that guarantee? It is, in fact, the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 7, okay, it's going to start coming together here. It's been prophesied all for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years, that God's Spirit would not only be with us, but actually a time would come when God's Holy Spirit could come and dwell in us and be a permanent fixture in our lives, not just around us. And Jesus talked about this as he began in John chapter 7, and he talked about, you know, anyone who's thirsty, come and drink, and the Spirit, what it's going to be, he's talking about the Spirit, he says, rivers of living water are going to flow within them. And as we'll see in a verse, just a verse later, in just a moment, he's talking, of course, about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is just like this river. And for me, in preparation for this sermon, I've been swimming in that river for the last, you know, couple of weeks, and it's amazing. All of these great passages. One of my favorites is in Ezekiel chapter 37. You got to jot this down and read about it, how this prophecy where Ezekiel is able to see these dead bones, these dry bones, and then God says, do you believe they can live? And God puts breath, you know, into them, and they come alive. It's just mind-blowing, all of the ways that God works, and he does this through his Holy Spirit. I've been asking my friends this week about their favorite passages and their favorite thoughts, their favorite insights about the Holy Spirit. And, it's like drinking from a fire hose, everything that you get back. And I hope that's your experience, but I've found out that oftentimes it's not, that we haven't taken enough time to not only study, reflect, but deeply embrace and call on and ask to be filled by God's Holy Spirit. And that should be a daily thing for those of us who actually have that indwelling gift inside of us. After all, we are spiritual beings, aren't we? After all, we live in a spiritual world, don't we? After all, isn't there a spiritual enemy that is opposed to us? Don't we have that in our lives as well? It makes sense that we need to be relying on God's Spirit. Now, let me just pause and say something that I really believe is true, deeply believe is true. And I'd just like to pose, if you're focused right now, whether you're listening to this morning or you're checking out later on, if your focus is on God, if it's on Jesus, I mean truly your focus on a daily basis, is on God, is on Jesus, and is on the Spirit, that Ephesians 3:21 Spirit that can do immeasurably more than anything we ask or imagine because it's living inside of us, this the best is yet to come Spirit. If that's what you're doing, then I know something about you. I know that regardless of what is pinging around in your life right now, that you are filled with grace, you're filled with peace, and you're filled with power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Ephesians 1:18. On the other hand, and I think it's probably important for some people to listen to this pretty carefully, on the other hand, if you're focused on this world, your latest problems, your latest irritations, your distractions, your concerns, your flashpoints, then you certainly will not be filled with grace, peace, and power. And you'll leave the door open to a whole nother set of spirits altogether. I really want to ask you this question. How encouraging is it to you? I mean, really, how encouraging is it to you right now, this moment, to know that God's Holy Spirit is indwelling inside of your body if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and you've responded to him in faith? Honestly, how awesome is that? It's the gift. That's what the Bible, talks about. My grandson's birthday was a couple of days ago, and he was opening up his presents, and he was so excited he got a Patrick Mahomes helmet. All right, ready for the game today. But we get excited about a lot of things, but how excited, I mean seriously, encouraged are you that God's Spirit is inside of you? You see, as I mentioned earlier, as Jesus went on in John chapter 7, he was talking about, what was he talking about, rivers of living water? Well, he tells us in the next sentence. He says, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed were later to receive. Up to that point, now this is interesting. Up to that point, the Spirit had not yet been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. What was Jesus talking about? Well, he elaborates on it in John 14, a little bit later on this his last night with the disciples. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I'm going to send you another, a comforter. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him or know him, but now watch this. You know him, for he lives with you or around you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. It's about to happen through all of these years. Now the opportunity is going to come where we not only have the Holy Spirit with us, God's presence with us, but actually can come and make a residence inside of us and be born again and have a completely new life. Isn't that what Acts 2 was really talking about? Right after the very first sermon preached in the name of the resurrected Jesus, after he had done what he just talked about, went up to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit, apostles received it, and then they're preaching, Peter is, and people respond, what do we do? What do we do? Okay, we realize we helped crucify the Son of God, and Peter tells him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the forgiveness of your sins, but that's not all. There's the gift. And you will receive the gift. The gift. the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you, but it's for your children, all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call to himself. Jesus gave the apostles the Spirit. Jesus offers us the Spirit. And then there's an amazing thing among many things the Spirit does in our life. In Ezekiel chapter 36, if you're following along, here's what's prophesied. God says, I'll send the Holy Spirit, I'll put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is one of the great promises and one of the birthrights we have as Christians. We not only have the rule book, we not only have the Bible, we not only have the instruction manual, but we have a power source that is able to move, to change our heart. In fact, earlier in that chapter, Ezekiel is told by God, I'm going to give you a new spirit, I'm going to give you a new heart, and it's going to move you. You ever find out sometimes in your life you have a hard time just doing what God says? A hard time doing what you know you should. In a moment, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to really encourage all of us that are listening to this or hear it later to focus and read, reflect, lean on in to Romans chapter 8, the entire chapter, and where you can see where, well, you know, what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. But we have this strong tendency, you see, to work out so many things on our own strength, our own power, our own wisdom. And yet the Bible says the mind set on the flesh, you know, can't be pleasing to God and can't really accomplish its will, but the mind set on the Spirit will. The Holy Spirit is given as a deposit, a guarantee, a power source, a comforter, and that's where the Bible talks about in the book of Acts. It says, he wrote in Luke, everything Jesus began to do and teach, but we focus in the book of Acts like on these amazing things the apostles did. I mean, it's crazy, awesome. To help turn the world upside down, but the real hero, the real power source is the Holy Spirit. It's the works of God's Spirit working through common, ordinary people, as they noted there. When we have communion in a minute, we're going to hear a song. It's a new song for us here at North River. It's focused on a scripture, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It's one of my favorite verses. I use it all the time when I'm working out. It's 10 words. You know, it's good for reps. Not by might. Not by power, but by my Spirit. That's 10, and you can also add on, says the Lord of hosts, and you don't have a burn, you know, right there. But that's the important thing. It is not by our might or power. It's by God's Spirit. When we have communion, and get your communion kind of supplies ready here, and you can focus on this song, and you can focus on what God is meant to do in our life. You see, we so often are self-reliant. We try to figure stuff out on our own. We try to control things on our own, and we get stressed out when we can't do it. That's just the history of so many of our lives. Yeah, focusing on gutting it out. We got all these sayings. Hey, work hard. You can do it. Grit your teeth. Power through. Get her done. You know, anything you set your mind to, you can do. First you don't succeed, what do? Try again. Now, all of that is good counsel at the right time. But the primary focus is to allow God's Spirit to work in us so we're not lifting alone. We got a partner helping us get that weight, you know, weight up. And that's why many times, sometimes people, Christians, even disciples, can feel burnout, anxious, depressed, you know, and not experiencing that, you know, Ephesians 3, God is able to do immeasurably more. On Romans, you know, chapter 8. Now, I'm just going to tell you again, you just can spend an hour in this, please do. It's about how to use the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit can be like, you know, Luke getting a lightsaber in Star Wars. You don't know what to do with it. You're so used to working on your own power, and it does take study. It takes counsel from other disciples, you know, and to be mentored in this. And it takes the Word of God, and it takes the Holy Spirit inside of you. But the whole idea of the book of Romans in chapter 8, there's so many, it's too much to even go into. Walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, not being controlled any longer by just your flesh, which means your natural instincts and desires and your weaknesses, to know that the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, and it testifies. We're God's children when we're feeling insecure and not you know, tied in. I think one of the most amazing things in the book of Romans 8, and that's why I'm going to choose to focus on it right here. You know, your prayers are not always answered short term like you'd like. Sherwin and Matt, Chair, and I were praying for so many of you and so many of your family members and people who were sick and hurting. And we were doing our best in calling on God's help and His Spirit to help us. But we thought about people like Harold. You just heard from him earlier today, losing his mom. Sherry Phillips lost her mom right, you know, day after Christmas. Billy Swain just lost his mom. We lose these people in our life, and it's a tremendous sense of loss, and we pray, and we try to work through it, but we don't even have the words to express. We have deep feelings. We have hurts. We try to communicate it. Can't even communicate it to people even close to us. But here is the amazing thing. You're not alone. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is with you when you're praying and when you're weak. And we don't know how we ought to pray, duh. But the Spirit Himself, where is it? Inside of us, intercedes for us. Watch this, with groanings too deep for words. You know, when we pray, we don't even have the words a lot of times, right? And yet God's Spirit will take this for us and do the rest of the work. The scriptures scream this from beginning to end. You're not alone. And then there's this companion thing two verses later where whatever is going in our life, if we're led by God's Spirit and we're trying our best to follow Jesus and to love God, according to this verse, we know that God works all things together for good. For those who love Him and have been called according, you know, to His purpose. It's just saying, God is faithful. He'll do this in your life. He'll do this in our family. If we don't give up, if we don't surrender to discouragement or discontent or allow our heart to get hardened or burdened by the events and people and circumstances around us, God is faithful. And as Kelly, my wife, always helps me, she just tells me, hey, Tom, we just need to see how big God is in any situation. You know, nothing, and in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Wow, nothing. Another thing I'd like you to do to study is Galatians chapter 5. Again, it's also about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and when we do, we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 16, if you're following along in your Bible. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature, they're obvious, but so is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in verse 21. And then in verse 26, let's live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking envying each other and with this kind of strife. And so it's all about living in God's Spirit. And then at the beginning of Galatians chapter 1, he talks about to all of us, and this is an important one to focus on too. If somebody is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And watch yourself, because you can also be tempted. Tempted with what? Self-righteousness, anger, discouragement, disillusionment. In other words, tempted not to be faithful. But doing it God's way, by His Spirit, God works all things together for good. We're going to close out the service after communion. We'll love God, love people, change the world. Does the world need changing? We believe it does. How do we change it? We got to answer that as a family and as a church and as individuals. There are many opinions. I'm sure you have yours. There's a lot of noise there. But my best counsel is fix your eyes on Jesus. Whatever influence that we have, let's encourage our own lives and the people around us to love God, love people, change the world, and rely on His Spirit. Let's pray now for communion. Our Father in heaven, our faithful God and Father in heaven, just come and continue to breathe on us and in us. With your Spirit, just break us and mold us and fill us. Father, we know it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And we rely on that and we commit to follow you and embrace that in our lives. Thank you for the gift of all gifts. We celebrate that in this communion. In Jesus' name, amen.